stand and testify of what the good Lord is doing, amen, in his life and there at Texas Bible College. Amen. Amen. We serve a healing God. Amen. A mighty God. An all-time God. Brother Holt, would you stand and testify? Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. I want to thank the pastor for allowing me to teach. We're going to be teaching a lesson from the book of Apostolic Foundations. If you would like this lesson at the end of service, just come to me. I'll print it for you and get you this lesson. If you want to review it, go over it. There are some questions in the back that you could answer. And it's a good lesson to go over. It's a good lesson to teach. So once you get it, don't just hold it to yourself, but take it and teach it as well. So it's good to do. All right, if you'll stand for the reading of the word, we're going to go to Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse number 20. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. With all his house. And let us pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we could come together, God, and learn and break bread. Lord Jesus, ask you, Lord, to touch this service this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. So we want to focus on that verse 30. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It shows me there that he knew they had something real. That it wasn't just something fake. It wasn't just something of pretend. But they had something real. And he wanted to know what they had. He had seen what God could do, amen, in their lives. And now he's wondering, what must I do to be saved? How can I get what you have? So in each person's life, there comes a time when he or she feels the need to take some type of action or undergo some type of experience in order to be saved. Every one of us have felt that way. We felt, how can I get my life right when you maybe weren't on the right track? What can I do to get better? How can I make my life? And you're searching. And we tell a lot of the inmates that we teach and other people that they begin to search and they begin to fill that void that they want to fill with other things, with addictions and alcohol. But the only thing that can truly fill that void is God. Is God. And so you're going to search and you're going to try to find some type of experience in order to be saved. And that experience is here today. And so the above question is of paramount importance to each generation. We are correct in concluding that we must do something to be saved. We have to do something in order to make it to heaven. We can't just sit on our hands and think, oh, that's enough. We can't just say, oh, I believe, and think that's going to get me into heaven. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. And we don't believe that once you get the Holy Ghost, you're saved either. You know, we don't believe, oh, they spoke in tongues, that's all they need to do, and that's okay. No, we believe that you have to have a relationship with God. You have to have a relationship, a daily walk, a daily talk with Him. And so we have to do something to be saved. The understanding that we are lost without God, sinners are doomed, is absolutely correct. Since all have sinned in Romans 3:23, we must become aware of our need of salvation from sin. We have to recognize that. The question besieges each individual somewhere in life. I join you in the quest for salvation. I too want to be saved from sin and everlasting punishment. But the question remains, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? This lesson proposes to explore fairly scripturally, the proper expression of faith. The conversion experience that will initially save us from our sins, justification. Later we will study the continual life of faith as we remain in our salvation, sanctification. And so we've got to explore fairly the Word of God. I don't want to teach you my opinion. I don't want to teach you what I think. I want to teach you what the Word of God says, because what I say doesn't matter. It's what the Word of God says that does. And so we need to dive into the Word of God and see what Scripture has to say. Not what man says, not what a preacher says, not what a friend says, but what does the Word of God has to say? So erring here spells eternal doom. We want to make sure we get it right. We want to make sure we get what we must do to be saved right. We don't want to mess up, because it is eternal doom. Finding truth and obeying it will mean eternal joy in heaven in the end. We must have God's intervention and help to find and obtain salvation. The word save has several connotations in the Bible, ranging from physical to spiritual deliverance. This lesson deals with salvation or deliverance from sin that qualifies us for heaven when we die, or if the Lord returns for the church before we die. So the word save comes from the Greek word sozo. If I say that right, I may not be saying that right. Meaning to save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, or preserve. Webster states that in theology, it means to deliver a person or soul from sin and punishment, or to redeem from spiritual death. Scriptural references on being saved, and we'll go through a few. Let us note the following scripture references as that denotes action on our part in order to be saved. So we need to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. The emphasis here is on the word of God. Proverbs 28:18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. The emphasis is we need to walk uprightly. Luke 7:50. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Emphasis here is on faith. Acts 11:14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? We can also see that in Acts 10:11. Emphasis is on the spoken word. John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Emphasis here is entering in the door, i.e. Jesus. We've got to go to Jesus. 1 Peter 3:21, even baptism doeth also now save us. Emphasis here is on water baptism. And we believe that you need to be submerged in water, not just sprinkled, not just a cup poured over, but in baptism you have to be submerged. Amen. You have to go fully under. The word baptized in the Greek is baptizo, which means to dip, plunge, or immerse, to fully put under. And when we baptize, amen, we do that, amen, fully under the water. in the name of Jesus. And so emphasis there is on baptism. Acts 2 and 40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Emphasis here is on our own personal responsibility in our salvation. It is up to you to get yourself to heaven. Mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. Cousin can't do it for you. Your friend can't do it for you. You've got to have that walk in that prayer life for yourself. You've got to have that relationship with God for yourself. Isaiah 45 and 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Emphasis here is on looking to God for our salvation. You're not going to find it in a friend. You're not going to find it in a bottle, in a drug. You're not going to find it in a false doctrine. You're going to find it in the Lord. Acts chapter 16 and 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Emphasis here is on believing. That's the first step. So many people just take that scripture and run with it and think that's all they have to do. No. Believing is just the first part. You've got to believe. Emphasis here is on believing. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Emphasis here is on grace and faith. Romans 10 and 13. For whatsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Emphasis is on calling on the name of the Lord. Titus 3 and 5. Not by works or righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Emphasis is on his mercy. Matthew 10 and 22, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Here the emphasis is on enduring. We're going to go through hard times. We're going to go through tough times. We're going to go through rough times, but you have to endure. Amen. I would rather live for the Lord in a tough time than be living for the world in a tough time. So you need to endure. Emphasis is on enduring. We've got to endure to make it. Amen. Amen. So we need to endure. Romans 8 and 24, for we are saved by hope. Emphasis here is on hope. Mark 16 and 6, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Emphasis here is on believing and being baptized in water. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10 and 9, emphasis here is on confessing and believing. These verses come from various places in the Bible. Some were spoken by prophets, apostles, Jesus, Solomon, and Paul. Who is right? Do these verses contradict each other? Do we use just one verse or all 16 verses together, or three or four verses together to obtain a formula for salvation? We must use all 16 verses in context along with the rest of the Word of God as it relates to action on our part. We are in gross error if we fail to lead a sinner into every aspect of salvation and the conversion experience. In other words, it is wrong to tell a sinner simply to just believe. We're not doing our job if we do that. We're leading them a wrong way, or simply to just be baptized in water without spirit baptism, the Holy Ghost, or merely to have hope or just endure. We cannot isolate individual verses or on salvation. We must embrace all the scriptures regarding salvation. We have to use all of them, not just some of them, not just cherry pick what you want, but all the scriptures. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15. There are other verses of scripture. Sorry, I jumped ahead. There are other verses of scripture that we must consider in relation to our soul's salvation. May we carefully and rightly divide the word of truth at this juncture. 2 Timothy 2:15 is that scripture reference. The following are the progressive steps we must take in receiving this great salvation. Subsequent lessons we'll cover. If you want more later on, we're going to try to do this. I do a Bible study with Will. I'll get you into Bible study too if you want more of these lessons. We'll cover more of this in detail. Amen. So faith. From the Bible, we learn that it is essential to believe God and his word, or we will never take a positive step toward being saved. Well, let me just say this to you. We don't get good to get God. We get God to get good. We get God to get good. Don't think you're going to fix yourself up and then make the step towards him. No, you got to make the step by faith. And so faith is an absolute prerequisite in coming to God. Yet faith in the sense of mental belief or assent is insufficient to obtain salvation from sin. Let us study the following verses of Scripture that relate to salvation. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, and in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's faith. We're going to go now over repentance. Repentance is one of the cardinal doctrines in the Bible. It is an action on our part in response to God's grace and because of our belief that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Our repentance demonstrates that we believe God and His Word for God's Word plainly and simply teaches that we must repent. I explain repentance like this. It's a change of heart, mind, and direction. The things we thought about, the things we loved, and the direction we were walking. Amen. Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 2:17, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Acts 17:30, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. 2 Peter 3:9, but God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Luke 24:17, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we believe, we must repent. Repentance primarily means to have a change of mind and of heart. You've got to change your mind and your heart. It consists of feeling sorry for our sins and asking God to forgive us of all of our sins. Now, when we repent, you don't just go back the next week and do the same thing over. That's not true repentance. When we repent, we are truly being sincere and asking God to forgive us of our sins. And we don't repent just because we got our hand caught in the cookie jar. You know, sometimes, oh, I'm sorry. Are you really sorry? Are you sorry? Or are you sorry you got caught? Amen. We use that a lot too at the jail. And so we've got to truly repent. We've got to truly repent. It consists of feeling sorry for our sins, and in repentance we confess with our mouths. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. It consists of feeling sorry for our sins and asking God to forgive us of all of our sins. Moreover, in repentance we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and that fulfilling this confession we make an about face and live according to His will. Amen. And we try our best to never turn back. It doesn't mean you're going to have bumps in the road. You're not perfect. But immediately get right back up. Acknowledge that you messed up and ask God to forgive you. Amen. Baptism. Water baptism by immersion. We just talked about that a little while ago. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Huh? I'm just making sure y'all are listening. In what name? In Jesus Christ. Is an essential part of salvation. The Scripture says that it is the means by which the blood of Christ washes away our sins. Acts 2:22-16. We receive remission of sins through baptism in His name. Acts 2:38. I'm so glad that I was buried, amen, in baptism. I'm so glad that the old me was, amen, buried in baptism. Amen. So John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's not my words. That's the word of the Lord. Amen. So take it or leave it. Amen. So go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19. We know that it means name. They're talking about one person. It's singular. They're not talking about three. The name is Jesus. That's right. I'm a husband, I'm an uncle, and I'm a brother, but my name is Zachary. If I was going to sign a check over to you and I simply just put husband, uncle, brother and wrote $1,000, the bank would not cash it because there is no backing to those titles. But when I sign my name, there is backing to that check. That means there's finances in the account. And so we baptize in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's power in the name. And we invoke the name of Jesus. Your sins are washed away. Amen. So the name must be used in baptism, not simply the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they have a lot of verses that we can go into and study. But the next topic I want to cover is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Comforter whom Jesus sends back into the hearts and souls of those who believe in him. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood in Acts 20 and 28, you can see there, beginning on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. On that day, many received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The experience is available today and is essential in our lives. We have to have the Holy Ghost to make it to heaven. We have to be baptized in Jesus' name to make it to heaven. It's not Zach's words, but it's the word of God. Amen. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen. And it's noted more than just in Matthew 3:11 and Acts 1:5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. Jesus was teaching about the Holy Ghost in these verses here. You can see more in John and in other places. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. When you speak with tongues, that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. Amen. And you can't be taught, let me just say this, you can't be taught how to speak in tongues. It's not something somebody can teach you. It's not something that somebody can just whisper in your ear and you repeat after them. It has to be a godly given thing. Amen. So don't ever fall for a false teaching that somebody can say they can teach you how to speak in tongues, or they can tell you, hey, just say this and it's okay. Amen. And don't let nobody tell you you got the Holy Ghost either until you know for sure you have the Holy Ghost. Amen. You have to know, amen, for yourself that you have it. We can see the evidence of it, but we want you to know for yourself that you have it. Experience the Holy Ghost is life's most exciting event. I can remember when I got the Holy Ghost, I was in Lufkin, Texas at Eastview. I was on the front left and Brother Zorich was preaching and he just began to pray for me, and other TBC students were around me. I was at a preview weekend and he said, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." No sooner than a couple minutes later, I was speaking in tongues. Amen. That's how impactful it was on my life, and that's how excited I was about it, because it is the most exciting thing that could ever happen. Many of you could tell me your story of when God filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, because it's so impactful. So we are highly honored by God to have this great gift. Many verses of Scripture give us insight on this glorious experience. And if you want those verses, I have them here. I'll get them to you after service. Being saved from sin and ready for heaven is life's most important pursuit. Not a job, not searching out to be the CEO or the manager, but being saved. Salvation is more valuable than wealth, than fame, or even life itself. God's word is the only source we have that tells us how to receive salvation. God has chosen to place nuggets of truth here and there in His Word for us to seek out. The purpose of this lesson is to do this, just that. And if you want it, I'll give it to you. God has chosen, amen, these things, amen, for us. Try as I may, I cannot accept, the idea that if I simply believe in my heart and make a confession with my mouth, that this alone constitutes salvation from sin. It doesn't. I've asked many people at the jail, and me and Pastor both will say, and they don't know us, we don't know them, and we'll just ask them, do you believe all you got to do is just believe? And they'll say no. They don't know the truth. They've been taught, you know, different things. But even they know it's more than just believing. It's more than just saying, oh, I'm accepting God and that's it. And so if they know it, how much more should we? Amen. I have read too much about faith, repentance, baptism, and the Holy Ghost to accept this proposal. We just talked about it here. Dare we accept fragments of truth on such a vital matter as salvation? Can we dwell on faith and ignore baptism? Shall we demand baptism and skip repentance? Can we be saved by accepting one part of the plan while rejecting the rest of the Bible? When we search out truth in its entirety and obey it, we can be saved. We must not be deceived by any person or any denominational teaching. Say that again. Instead, we must read the Bible and obey it. In doing so, we find salvation. The Queen of Sheba traveled from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon in Luke 11 and 31. But one greater than Solomon is here, Jesus Christ. How much have we sought after Him and His plan of salvation? In our search for salvation, we should never forget the following verse in Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask you today, what must I do to be saved? If you have the answer, don't hold it to yourself. Take this and share it, because many other people need what we have. And it's a shame on us if we just sit on our hands and not share what God has given us. Because somebody shared it with us, amen, how much more should we share it to others? And who knows, amen, who knows what could happen by just taking this lesson and teaching it? Who knows what could happen? How many doors would open, amen, if you're just operating in faith? Just step out and ask God to help you. Amen. So take this lesson. If you want a copy of it, I'm going to make copies. And please share it and go and teach it. Amen. And tell people what they need to do to be saved. Not just an opinion, but what does the Word of God say? Amen. Amen. If we could all stand as we dismiss in prayer. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for your Word. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this service. I ask you, Lord, to keep your hand of protection as we travel home. Keep your hand on us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.